There's an ancient custom among Christians that on Easter Sunday, we greet one another with the Easter proclamation, Christ is risen. And the response is, he is truly risen. So my brothers and sisters, Christ is risen. Great. In that first reading, St. Peter testifies that the risen Christ commissioned the apostles to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. In other words, the church didn't come to be because the apostles remembered some of Jesus' teachings and then worked out a structure on their own that they subsequently called the church. The risen Jesus was very explicit with the apostles in commissioning them and in detailing to them himself the structure and teaching of the church. One point of that teaching is that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead, which means that you and I are not, right? Now, it's helpful to make an important distinction there. You and I do have to make judgments all the time. They're called decisions, and that includes decisions about other people. Can I trust this person? Will this person be a good friend for me? Do I trust this person enough to do business with them? Is this the kind of person I'd like to marry? We have to make those kind of judgments. But Jesus, and Jesus alone, has the authority to judge the state of another's immortal soul. Jesus alone has the authority to judge if I'm worthy of forgiveness. Jesus alone has the authority to judge if I'm worthy of heaven. I may have good reasons not to trust someone, but I have no grounds to condemn them, and never should I place them beyond the mercy of God. Maybe I should say, never should we place ourselves either beyond the mercy of God, right? Jesus alone is the judge of that, because Jesus alone is the searcher of minds and hearts. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he loves you more than you love yourself. Isn't that a mercy? In St. Paul's letter to the Colossians there, he talked about that our life is hidden with Christ in God. That's beautiful. Hidden with Christ in God. There's so much that we don't understand about our own hearts, but we're told that they're with God. They're with Christ. Whether we can see the full reality of how we were created to be or not. I think it was St. Catherine of Siena, maybe, had this beautiful line that said, if we could see the immortal soul purified of sin, we would die a thousand deaths to see that kind of beauty. And that's what Christ sees, hidden with him in God. In the gospel, notice two things. Peter is honored as the head of the apostles when the beloved disciple waits to let Peter go into the tomb first. He could have judged Peter for having denied Jesus 3 times. But he knew that Jesus alone could judge Peter's soul. And we today continue to honor the successor to Peter, Pope Francis, with a similar respect and honor. Secondly, when Peter goes into the tomb, he sees the burial cloth and the head cloth rolled up in a separate place. Why does the gospel give us this strange little detail? Because earlier in the gospel, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, others had to unbind him from the burial cloths. But Jesus unbinds himself. Now, tradition associates that burial cloth with the justly famous Shroud of Turin. But a lesser-known tradition associates that head cloth with the veil of Monopello. The shroud is an image of the crucified Christ. The veil is an image of Christ seemingly rising from the dead. I encourage you, when you get a chance, if you have internet, go online and look for do a search on the veil of Monopello. It's kept in a church south of Rome that when Pope Benedict XVI was first elected pope, one of the first things he did was to make a papal visit to Monopello to visit that veil. And he raised that church to a basilica. There are some who believe that that veil was originally belonged to St. Peter's Basilica and was one of the major relics in St. Peter's, the veil of Monopello. Our faith is not just a way of life. It's a life to be lived. Our faith is not just an ethical system. It's a person, and a very particular person who lived and suffered and rose from the dead and who gave beautiful instructions to the apostles about the church and the sacraments, about life and death, about the Trinity and the heavenly kingdom. And that beloved disciple who honored Peter, he saw the shroud and the veil, and he loved the person that we call the way, the truth, and the life. That beloved disciple must also be you and me, because every disciple of Christ is beloved by Christ. So here's your homework for the week. Embrace your identity as a beloved disciple, letting Jesus be the judge, honoring our church, and loving the very real and concrete risen person, risen from the dead. Christ is risen. You did better the first time.